by my correct? No clear, yes. There was something, I'm not sure if it was Honourable Kwabasa who had pinned something together, and I'll check with him soon as he comes in. Just check with him. So when he comes in, to go over that and then see how it looks. Okay, I'm staying with you because, you know, you'll be closer to him when the time comes. Let's just move on. He will join us. Competition policy. You know, iPad 2, we don't have any extras there, which in theory means we've been through it several times. You follow? Page 17. No, not yet. No, we're just saying we're leaving that until Honourable Kwabasa gets back here. Yeah. Page 17, yet again. And just a small thing, perhaps it could be proposed the following amendment on page 17 when it says in insuring. You know, at the top there, yeah. Because of those, the amendments which follow. Yeah. So it's just a small point, unless those aren't only his. Yeah. Now the position is, those are the amendments, and where do we stand on those amendments? He says classification of X and Y, import parity, the reference to divestiture orders on abuse of dominance and restrictive practices. Who can tell us what divestiture practice orders are? Silence. Not sure if that means you're all chewing, but let's just get the page 17. In the bullet, the second bullet, easier imposition of divestiture orders on abuse of dominance and restrictive practices. You know, one would have a basic idea in English to divest yourself of something is to get rid of, and then we'll call in our researcher just to give us a technical explanation. Honorable Khadek. So I know it is along those lines, and well, can you confirm that for us, Mr. McLum?
Sure, I'll have to look up that.
And we'll have to look it up pretty soon, like now. But let's move on. But we know what it is, but we just want to get, again, for accessibility, what it is. Yes. And I mean, the President has just said he also, the value of intellectuals should not be ignored. They all contribute to this tapestry that is South Africa and our people. Empowerment of the competition authorities to impose X, Y, Z, additional competition enforcement capacity, to include acting on facilitating conduct with cartels, market inquiry provisions, etc., and complex monopolies to address conscious parallel conduct. You see, it's all very well to talk about conscious parallel conduct, and if you can't explain it to anyone else, then you know that no one else is going to understand in the house other than one or two economists. So, complex monopolies. He proposes amendments to the Competition Act under complex monopolies to address conscious parallel conduct. So let's just get it clear. breakdown of that as well. And some of these things we could just put the definition underneath, you follow, and not necessarily always in the text. Developing trade policy. But just before we get that, according to Dr. Bessel, now this is someone else then, competition policy should be utilized to prohibit the systematic discrimination practiced by companies that export at lower prices than the prices they charge South African consumers. Import tariffs should be removed on semi-processed imports to labor-intensive industries that do not export. The absence of competition or collusive prices, etc., by companies in particular has constraining effects on value addition efforts and competitiveness. This is a very critical point in, you know, related to industrial development, manufacturing, and this whole idea of what you, the domestic economy and the external economy. Now, what is the committee saying there? Because it's a critical part here. You want to get rid of people all in these informal cartels, if I can put it that way. They're going to raise the prices. Nobody benefits except themselves. So do we not have a comment here? And if not now, let's come back to it as we move along. Okay? Why don't you take that to Honorable Kwabasa, please, to have a look at. This is simply with reference to the point that has been made earlier that we were asking him to develop. Development trade policy, page 17 at the bottom. So we need a committee comment earlier. And it's not marked in any way. Page 18. You know, there are all these points about SWAR. I'm sure you can see that there. And then at the bottom, in that purple, or whatever, mauve of it, the use of subsidies, tariff and non-tariff barriers, protect local production from foreign imports, must become an incubator of that, which has a reasonable expectation to become sustainable. I think we all agree with the idea we don't want to prop up industries, you know, unnecessarily. I don't think any of us are having a problem with the idea of not just helping people without letting them help themselves. The idea one can agree with, but where does one put that? Each of these interventions should be limited to 5 years unless reauthorized by Parliament.
Madam Chair, I mean, what is said there is it might be, you know, some of us might feel that inside our own veins, but that is absolutely contrary to WTO rules. To put that into a document to say that we're going to use subsidies and tariffs to protect local production, that is absolutely against the rules. So you need to have it that explicitly, it's just not on. We cannot do that.
Honorable Chairperson, I still maintain that also this part, the whole of that paragraph is still going against the grain of what we're doing. It's going against the grain. So that if we can omit it, we can improve the document a lot. Let's dump that, omit that, and go straight to what the committee said, and then we'll also do all right.
Madam Chair, these are arguments for bringing in other stuff, and you can't put it in that word in this report.
Yes. And I'm not disagreeing with anyone at the moment. You know, I always like to look at something very carefully when the person isn't here, to ask myself very clearly, and I think for the committee itself, is there any merit in what is here before us? Do you follow where we're coming from there? I must say that a chick with content specialists, I know, was specifically asked for the section to come in at this point.
Ms. Lambertini had just sent everybody, I think, an email with general pointers, which we've put here, but it doesn't necessarily have to be here, because we didn't get specific directions.
Right, we'll get, I don't know if you wanted to just add, because I heard you, saw you just agreeing the Honourable Hajjaj with the points that were already made. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I think we actually, in that first sentence, the subsidy is kind of local production and Indian and integration and all that. I think the address was previously on the earlier pages, because the subsidy is the same. And, there's no way we can put in print because those that actually mitigate against EPA risk. So we do say that we need to assist and new enterprises, we need to make a cost as well, we need to mentor, we need to all of those things. But in that form, I don't think we can put it down I think we can, as I would actually delete that.
Yeah.
And then the last bit about higher purchase prices should not be allowed to indicate earnings and management bonuses or high salaries.
Yeah.
Too much of context there.
We did say that we must find ways of assisting our local production with forms of, you know, for want of a better word, subsidy, but without breaking the rules of the WTO. I remember the other day we were talking about agriculture, for instance, and we were saying we need to look into speeding up ways of improving the infrastructure. We need to think about, for instance, the cost of diesel. To what extent do we help them so that they don't suffer the heavy cost of diesel and so on and so on. And of course, we could think about on a wide range of other productive sectors of the economy, so that we improve the production and make the cost of doing business a little comfortable. But to write something like this is a big challenge.
Yes, I think, you know, it finally relates to a comment we made much further on page 30. That's why I'm also just alerting you, because this is what you later said. You know, Honourable Lambertini wasn't there. When I say you, I don't mean you personally, but we as a committee. You remember when we were sharing some ideas for you? And then we said, on four, which we now noted as four on page 30, continued support for infant and new industry should be given, taking the WTO rules into account while developing their efficiency and competitiveness. We didn't look at that issue. You see, and this is why you can see I'm even less reluctant now than before to just take the whole thing out, because there's a relationship to the infant industries here. All this issue about the trade barriers, all this, no. I don't think that we can put all of that down. Totally agree with everyone. But why it may be of value is to consider the point that has been made, and that is that, you know, we do need to protect our infant industries in this particular manner. How do we do that? We may don't want to use the word protect, rather use the word support. We may wish to support these After all, we are already having what you call these things, not subsidies, but what do you call them, incentives and different things like that, which amount to a similar thing, soft loans and the like. So I'm taking it out here, but I'm suggesting we don't lose sight of the little idea, and if we get the point of infant industries and the like, we may wish to check and see whether we have effectively covered it. That's all I'm saying. So on that basis, it will be removed. I hope we're understanding that clear. So should we then come to the infants and the one thing and another, and we see whether or not we have sufficient emphasis there, we'll look at it seriously. So right now, Honourable Haddad, I really don't want to come back to the purple and the mauve. Please, I think we've exhausted that point. We're on red now, at the top of page 19. The committee stressed there must be a developmental approach. Do you see, we've captured it. That's what I mean, and we looked at it here. We have to this and this, the local industry, etc. In this phase, and when we say the development of local industry, it may well mean the same as to say and the encouragement of new industry. We may want to add and the encouragement of new industry. You follow? That doesn't in any way jeopardize any WTO rules, you see. In this vein, the amount of time taken, etc., etc., was of concern, tariff reform applications. The committee is adamant that these time frames must be decreased to actively support industry and not undermine their sustainability. Quite clear. Sectoral issues are taken into account. Honourable Mabasa?
On that paragraph, the committee stressed that. I propose that at the end, we also add that this must be considered in conjunction with the triple BEE principle.
No,
you're
not. Now, that point there. You know what we're looking what we're looking at here, Honourable Mabasa? We were coming to the point of the development trade policy. I'm going to just check because I believe that I want to make quite certain. Is the triple B, triple E not somewhere else? Yes. It is covered there, and I think we'll just flip across to there just now.
This is
trade policy.
We'll just check and see if
it's covered. On the keep the point, and when we come to the triple B, triple E. Sectoral issues 19 and 20. I want to look at this Kumba and Athalor because these are actually assuming national proportions of a serious challenge to the economy, more broadly speaking. And as for the Little's view, the challenges experienced by South African downstream industries are not primarily due to its export parity pricing practices. We give what they think to us. It assures the committee. We then give Kumba with some response. We then even have the Minister of Trade. And then we're too scared to say anything after all of that, it seems. You see, this is a very serious issue facing the country. Now, you may want to exercise caution, but at the very least, you can't just let it ride. You can't just, you know, leave it. Now, I'm going to flag this there. You cannot just leave it like that. I'll flag it, all right? We move on, 21. Must they come and see the, your 15-minute stretch to more like, you know, 30 minutes, if I may say so. But anyway, agro-processing. We've got another plot issue again on 23. So just go back to 22, agro-processing, a very big issue. You will all remember we had quite a few people in that area. And then we came on to FAWU, the top of page 23. And then the blue is your self-quivers.
Uh-huh.
Agro-processing offers excellent foreign direct investment. Yes, don't read that. Which must be supported and encouraged. I mean, I don't, you know, I think we all go along with. Agro-industries are also a mechanism for the sustained empowerment and revival of rural development. I mean, you know, yes, indeed. And for resettlement of communities in the rural areas. Now, whenever I see this issue of resettlement, reminds me of the Second World War and a few other practices in our own country. Now, I'm not suggesting that it isn't correct, but I'm saying, you know, let's just think very carefully before we choose some of these words. I think I do know what you mean.
Yeah, again, English is my second language. If it's a better word, then one can use a better word. But the objective was that, you know, we've seen so many people migrating to cities, you know, when, and they're coming from rural areas. They can do, they can farm. So if you can be successful with agro-processing and you can take them back, you know, into the rural areas, you can popularize the rural areas again. So that was the call it, you know, there can be a better word for resettlement. So I understand that.
See, I think I understand what you're saying. We'll get these factories, etc., etc. Instead of everyone rushing along to the cities, jobs could be found there, closer to homes, which may offer another opportunity as well to stay on. On the other hand, others may feel, well, at least I can get a job there and I'd like to return to the farming area. But a resettlement would almost imply an imposed issue. And I don't think the intention was to impose anything. That's how I understood your sentiment. So let's think of how we would phrase this, Margot, and I don't think anyone has a problem about the revival of rural development or any of these things, and I'm looking around at people now. Are we happy to stop there? Now the qualitative and the leapfrogging, that one there, I never studied this one in depth. I only got as far as page 21 on studying the mauve and the purple. Did anyone study this section? No, that means we must all look at it. Did you study it, Honorable Hadebe? Mike, isn't it?
Honorable Chairperson, when you go to the third sentence, this does not mean that the emission comes from the The public hearing facilitates how the worldwide industrial trend in agriculture is that of increasing the size of agricultural operations. This does not mean that emission farmers may not be assisted and that agriculture may not be structured on the basis of individual own. Government should support the creation of umbrella agricultural to subsume smaller farmers and separate for 1975. I think that one is a problem. It's a serious problem because then it means that basically we must form the something like a bigger corporation which are going to absorb the smaller. And I don't think that would work. You can go to a country like Ethiopia. Because Ethiopia is trying now to export because of the feminized farm, which are supported by government. So even here, you cannot go to them with the root of sea farm, whereas our people don't have capacity to do that. Give them something small, and then they expand as they grow. So I don't think that it can be correct.
Madam Chair, that sentence starting with government should. I think that sentence must be out.
You know what? The research, content specialist has reminded me that this issue popped up in the trade paper as well. The same input by the same member, and that we reworded it to retain part of it, and she's just looking up that let's leave it until we get it. Can we do that? So we're flagging the third issue. But no, hang on, the second part refers to the support for the upgrading and quality of the produce. That relates to SQAM, doesn't it? Initially, subsidies and assistance should be given to enable products to move along the line of the value chain in respect of greater canning, etc., etc. I just want to get this quite clear in my head. Are we really, really allowed to subsidize?
That word must be taken out. We cannot mention subsidize. That's against WTO rules. And in that sentence, Madam Chair, you can go with that first, in my opinion, that first sentence is fine. Government should support upgrading quality of life. That's fine. And then assistance should be given to enable products to move along the line.
Yeah.
That is fine. But then you must stop. The next one, in this respect, it is essential to open foreign markets by creating a South African brand of quality products. Point. And the rest must come out.
A South African brand of quality products.
Point. Stop there. Don't compare it to Italy. Or say that, you know, I mean, I come from a wine industry, so yes, wine is fantastic to use. Others might feel, why do you use wine? Why don't you use ostrich meat? Or you know, it's like that.
Okay, now I think the point is made, yes. Look, we've got a proposal here, then. It's good to have kept some of this in about the upgrading, et cetera, no problem. It's what SQAM wants to achieve and through IPAC and the value chain. But that there's a need for us to put a full stop to the rest of the paragraph, as it were. Do we agree on that? I'm looking, I see some concerns in members who, I'm not sure, Honourable Kadebe, because you're looking quite perplexed, and then Honourable Hajjaj is also not happy. Yeah. Honourable Hajjaj, do you want to come in there?
Yeah. Well, I think Marie is correct. In the second sentence, initial assistance, just delete subsidies and.
Yeah.
That's just the end. Initial assistance should be given to enable products to move along the line of the value chain, especially in the respect of greater canning of vegetables, and we do have a problem with that processing of these products. And then I don't know, in this respect, it is essential to open foreign markets by taking a South African brand. I don't know whether all this needs to go into this kind of quality paper. I think it's just too much detail.
Yeah. Right? No, I think you've made some very good points there, very valid points, if I may say so. Honourable Khadebe, do you want to come in after Honourable Njikalana or come in now? Yes, Honourable Njikalana.
Honourable members, so just forget that one of my dreams, my LED was to become first black electronics engineer in the world. the subscriber took over. I concur with the Honorable Ajay in the movement that because the question is to move too much into DTI as a committee. We're not DTI, we're not a department. One thing. The same goes with the above area work agreeing to. What I just want to provoke is whether the committee is happy by specific mention around the canning activity, yeah. Vegetables, meat processing, meat products. Because if I remember, there were a couple of that association that came here. To me, they were a sample of what should be done. So to me, I would be happier if we would just be supporting the beneficiation levels like canning. Uh-huh. In terms of what is canned, that's for the industry to look into, uh-huh. Not to necessarily, be specific, because the risk is that we may appear constricting ourselves, unless within the EPAC 2, there's a specific resonance on those three areas, that is vegetable meat and processing of meat products. I would rather we leave it more general than anything, but I'm open to persuade.
All right. Let me just come in with Honorable Khadebe before yourself, Honorable Maria.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would have moved that the whole thing be removed. The only thing which must be emphasized, only one, that the quality of our agro-processed industry product must match the requirements of QAM, that is. And then, on that regard, and then you're covered yourself. Because I think the way this thing is being coached up now, look at the end of the, after the whole thing, at the end, land reform is essential to ensure that agricultural productivity capacity is utilized, and a review on whether maintaining the willing biological is still applicable is required. I think that there's a certain ideological position which is being maintained here, which I think still goes against the grain. It's very unfortunate that the members are not here, because it's better, but right now we're taking our way for our aid, and it's not here. That's why I move that if we could remove this, the whole of this thing, and then retain what we've done, we've dealt with, and then we'll be fine.
I want to get it clear what is being suggested now. You're suggesting that we remove the first paragraph sitting here in MOVE, the qualitative quantitative. Just want to get it clear? Yes. Then we come into the next paragraph, which starts, government should also support the upgrading of the quality of produce. Are we not saying that, though, that it should support that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we keep that sentence in. Support the upgrading of the quality of produce through adoption and enforcement of quality standards. A system should be given to enable products to move along the value chain. We don't have to say the line, but move along the value chain. Well, and you referred to canning earlier on by our comment. You haven't. No. Let's just get this quite clear. In what you added here, Honourable Marie, you were referring to agro-industry broadly, you see. If you look at everything else, these are the canons, the actual submission. So what my suggestion is so far so good, assistance should be given to enable products to move along the value chain. And then, yes, you need to make a reference to canning. Because the submissions were before. Now you're making a comment, you see. So we could say, especially in respect to increased canning of food products. Then you've covered the whole range further on again. And then you don't have to talk about foreign markets and and the luck.
Yeah.
Are we agreed as we end there?
Yeah.
All right. Then we leave all the different goals, etc., out, and move on to the next page. Page 24, just in case you didn't know, is what the committee said, and not Honourable Amber Sidney. Land reform is essential to ensure that agricultural productive capacity is fully utilised. Yes. And the review on whether maintaining the willing buyer, willing seller is still applicable is required. Of, what? What? I don't know about England, not about. It's either still applicable or it's still required. I don't know. How do we read this? Yes, Honourable, I judge.
I think that, you know, the land reform is very important to ensure that the agricultural productive capacity is fully utilized, comma, and the review,
of the willing
of
buyer, the
principle, of the principle willing buyer, willing seller is required.
Encouragement is needed to promote and support a higher local content. I mean, yes, the minister's saying this all along the line. I mean, it's absolutely essential. Yes, I mean, now what's this about after the little? Yeah, I think that's important to put that in there. It's having an impact there. 25. We're doing very well. 25, we had no, you know, additions from the last time, 26. There were certain queries which I recall being raised under biofuels. Something about BioVac. What was the BioVac and the other? Well, that's pharmaceuticals, all right. 27. Right. We have something again in those. Policies aimed at reducing carbon footprints ought to be re-examined. The department should report to Parliament in the light of the notion of man-made global warming no longer being supported as an undisputed theory. No longer being supported as an undisputed theory by the international scientific community. Now rather focuses on climate change, inclusive of a phase of global cooling, in which carbon emissions may no longer be as relevant as previously thought. I'm just wondering what I'm reading here. I think Honourable Sotu should have been right here. Yes, Honourable Dickalana, I can see all the fingers.
Yes, sir. Well, if I put on my PhD hat,
yeah.
I work with Honourable Sotu, I can easily say that, one, I don't see this paragraph appropriately placed here. They're rather misplaced. And also, there's a lot of controversy around the thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember the government position. Of course, you can still make our position. I think more than anything, it's just mistake. Because the drive within IPA is greening us. You know, and the emphasis is also to lower, carbon emissions in industry. So to minimize our drive while increasing greening us. So this whole detail, finally, it ends up being mistake. It's actually, we like a referring Honorable Social Committee. You know, grappling with mitigation of carbon emissions. Then,
I really think that we're all, you know, grappling with the carbon emissions and climate change, etc. But this is such a bold statement, a set of bold statements here, and you know, this is a committee report. Some of the times when we want to make such bold statements, they may best be kept for the debate. I really must say, because I've just come out of a committee, SAEU, where these issues were raised, and, I just don't think we can use this in a committee report as like this. I don't know how do others feel. Certainly, it sounds in the Kalama, no, Rick, can I see everyone? No. Right. No. I think this be advisedly in a debate. Right. The red. One thing to ask, though, before we just whiz past, and we mentioned carbon footprint anywhere, even near green. Because that was mentioned, as you know, in three of the submissions. Not in this vein, let me hasten to add. But it was raised. Something to do with the energy and various other things. Does anyone remember in the submissions that was raised?
Madam Chair, obviously with that biofuels, it is probably a place where you can mention about the importance of reducing the carbon footprint my, at first sentence initially, I thought to myself, you know, that's probably not that bad. Policy statement reducing carbon footprint ought to be re-examined, but not in the sense of the rest of the paragraph. So, or you know, re-examine is probably the wrong word, but one can emphasize that you know, reducing carbon footprint is very important, and at this stage there's no evidence that I've seen that can convince me that we must now re-examine that. It might be so, but I don't see it. I don't see any evidence in that regard.
Am I not correct to think that was it this paper or this set of hearings that had a reference to green industry?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, if you know, I'm just getting my head around this. So green industry reduces, one of the contributions is to reduce carbon footprint. Now, where is the green industry? See? Yes, that maybe we have already said this, No, because that's where it should have been, you see, because it did come in the carbon, because in my own notes there's references to the carbon. Now, somewhere here, that's where your carbon footprint's got to make an appearance. Because yes, we have committed ourselves to a reduction in the carbon footprint. Was that just coming from either one of you?
I mean, I think what you mentioned, one can probably put it in just before 5.3, comments from the committee.
Yeah.
So I think that can be very relevant there.
Right. Now, let's just note a comment on the carbon footprint.
Yes. And I suppose what we're really all agreeing with is, yes, we agree with the reduction, but the critical issue of the cost of financing the adaptation as we move along. Because the cost of reducing the carbon footprint can be so we are committed to it, but quite clearly we would need to look at contributions from the developed world in financing this, etc., etc. So something along those lines, eh? Do we agree on the principle? Right, let's move on then. So we've made good progress as we begin to move to the pharmaceutical sector. From these, our own comments here. Yes, Honourable Khadiri?
Just on our... In terms of crop production, for biofuels, the committee is that food security must be
the Hello? I'm not about to, you're not leaving, are you?
Oh, how can I ever leave?
Well, no, I just saw you with a few books, so I'm so sorry.
Yes, no.
All right.
Not leaving.
And, you know, I'm just getting concerned because we've all been sitting here a long time and it would be a tragedy for us not to get to a point of being able to adopt this move. Sorry,
Honourable Chairperson, I think that on the issue of for the biofuel industry being used, the food crops being used for biofuel, I think the issue of maize was emphasized that it cannot be part of the equation. Also, during the presentation of the IGC, it also emphasized that they don't use maize. And then the Deputy Director General has said that the cabinet took a resolution that the maize will not be used as the base material for biofuel. I think that we must eliminate that maize out of it.
Yes, Honorable
Honourable
Madam. Chair, I fully agree that maize must be primarily for food security. But one must also, and that's why I've said maize, first of all, for food security, and then secondly, if there's so much extra capacity, then you can use it, but there must be conditions attached to that.
that it must not ever threaten food security. But to take it out totally, to say that that product is out, it means that there's going to be a discouragement to farmers to farm with maize, and then they would rather farm with other products. So you must encourage them to produce enough maize, and that if they've got more than enough, then it can go into biofuels. But because you don't want them to say, okay, I must now make a choice. It's either maize or biofuel. And then they might say, oh, you know, in terms of maize, I will have a problem if I've got a surplus. So I would rather go for that one. And then you might have a shortage.
One can see this, you farm and you then decide to go into sugar cane or canola and say, I'm not going to farm maize because you know what? I can get more money from my canola with biofuel. I'm just giving a little. Maybe what we, you see, the most important thing here is food security. That's a priority, and somehow that's got to come out clear. In terms of the committee insists that that biofuel production cannot be allowed to jeopardize, or what should be prioritized, that food security should be prioritized over biofuel production. And that's a clear, Honorable Khadebe.
I think this argument was raised when the ICC presented. That's why the Deputy Director General also came after that and said that there's a cabinet decision on that issue that may cannot be made. Because what will happen, Honorable Chairperson, is that you like it or not, these people, they've got what is known as future. People can buy in the future. What exactly will happen? What's going to happen? The net effect is that the food prices is going to increase. That's why that green industry also said that. They confirm that you use maize as, what is Eskom presented, you use maize as biofuel if the price is going to increase. When the price increases, it leads to food insecurity because a lot of people are not going to get, although it should be there, but it should not be accessible to the people. That's why the cabinet took a decision that maize out of the equation here. Because really, take for example, just like the oil of Angola. The oil of Angola, all of it has been bought by America. Yeah. In the future, whatever is going to be produced goes there. So if we are going to be saying, I think that the issue of maize is ready. That's why the IBC said that in the Eastern Cape, they are using sugar beet, they never support any project which is going to involve maize because the cabinet has given that decision. I think the woman is ready to be sensitive to such issues.
Now, I'm just, I want to be clear on this. The first thing, in terms of crop production of biofuels, the committee insists that food security is prioritized as a precondition for any investment in crops of biofuel, as a precondition. All right, a proposal, because I'm leaving the top for the moment. Let's get the proposal on maize to look at, because the next sentence remains, I don't know where it is. Strategies need to be developed and implemented to ensure that oversupply of crops are first used promote food security in Africa. Oh, that in other words, if there is an excess or whatever of throughout. No, but I mean generally of the crop. So the two sentences are separate. The first sentence needs to be a general one on food security over anything. The second one you want to look at oversupply. The third is where we come to maize. That's what I'm saying. Let's take each issue as it comes. Food security first. Doesn't matter what we're dealing with. Food security is the top issue. The next issue, should you overproduce, or should there be a surplus, let's say? We should consider Africa first. So that's the second point. The third point now is the nitty-gritty of maize. Now, you may want to look at an issue. I mean, there's a strong point here, Honourable Marie, which is saying, no, maize should never be used. There's a strong point on the table right here. Now, before we come in here with yourself, Honourable Marie, let me see, Honourable Hajjaj, are you coming in support of that or with a different point of view?
Surplus maize and surplus sugar cane can be used for the production of biofuels.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Honourable Marie was saying, you see. Yeah. That the priority would be food. I'm saying, is there something different we're coming with? On the one hand, you have a firm position here that's been put on the table by the Honourable Khadebe, all right, it says everyone agreed on food security. We have no problem with the first thing. Now, no problem with oversupply of surplus. The problem, well, not the problem, the difference we are having here is, on the one hand, Honourable Khadebe is saying maize can never or should never be used to produce fuel. On the other hand, you are saying it would seem, and this is what, and Honourable Maria is saying, no, no, let's have a slight difference. Maize, the first option for maize is food security before anything else, and only then biofuel. But you see what you're doing then, you're nullifying your second point, which says if there's a surplus of maize, or what, not just maize, of crops, you'll send it to Africa. Now you're saying in the third sentence, not you, but I mean we are saying, we are now saying, well, thirdly, if there's a surplus of maize, it'll go to biofuel. So what are you saying? The surplus will go to Africa, or the surplus will go to biofuel. Do you follow what I'm saying? You can't have it both ways.
Well,
that's
all
I'm saying.
The second sentence is very clear. It says promote food security in Africa before being considered for biofuel production. So in other words, that clearly states that. The one thing I must just mention, and we haven't got that information in front of us, but what we see in agricultural products is often there's varietals. Now, similar with wine. There are certain grapes that is varietals for eat, and there are certain varietals that you cannot eat that is only for producing wine or whatever other beverages. Now if there's, for instance, if we cut off maize totally, it means that even if there's a development of a varietal that you don't, that is not of a, I mean, I use an example of coal or gold, you know, reserves. Some is of a high value or a high substance, others of a low value. Now, I'm not saying that is the case because I haven't got the information. But that can very easily, if you see how they develop certain varietals for certain soil types and certain production objectives, then that can be very easily be happening, and then you're actually cutting that out for biofuels, which is not the intent.
Anyone who would like not staggered every 5 minutes with each PowerPoint that came on, all of us. Some of us were stunned when they were talking about, I don't know, how many million jobs being created. And I think Honourable Khadebe made the remark, well, what are we needing anything else for? Let's just go into whatever. But the point I want to make in that industry, not here, but overseas, is that they didn't only use what we're using here, I don't know, the sugar cane, I suppose. There they used every
single, you know, every single part of it. Not simply the cane, the top, the trash, the there wasn't anything left behind. Now, I can see that there's going to be a point where we're going to have to agree to disagree on the main issue. I can see that. So that's why I'm putting in something totally different. And I'm saying, in South Africa, we've already made a success of the sugar cane into fuel issue. It's there, in the tell from what I can recall. It hasn't been there 5 years, it's been there 25 or 35 years. Is there not a way, and I'm putting this to everyone now, that we couldn't simply focus in that area and on canola, what's that thing called? Canola. I believe canola is like an oil or something.
Most dangerous thing is for us to decide on agricultural products that must be allowed for biofuel without having the information. That means it's a guesstimate that we're making. To say, for instance, only sugar cane, only that. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think we've got the grounds to say that.
Before I even get anyone, let me give you some information, and then let me take Honourable Khadebe. On page 32 of our report, this has just been shown to me now. We said last Friday that DTI should submit a research report on the most optimal feed crops for biofuel production and the implications thereof. We haven't got it. So this is why I was pointing in a slightly different direction. Rather than saying no maize, yes maize, this maize, do you know what I'm saying? I was saying that something we can be totally clear on, and everyone can put nail their sort of colours to a mark, food security. There isn't anyone in this room that doesn't totally agree on that. The second thing we can put our colours on the mark about is that we do not want biofuel production at the expense of food security. And our staple diet in our country, whether we like it or not, is maize. Now, I mean, I don't think anyone's disagreeing on what I've said. But where we're having some form of disagreement is where some members will say, don't exclude it entirely. What I'm hearing you say, Honourable Marie, and I'm hearing Honourable Hajjaj saying that, but I'm hearing most people sitting on that side saying what? I don't know. I mean, I saw you nodding, Honourable Kwabasa, with Honourable Khadebe at one point there. I don't know about yourself and Jikalana, but I want to propose we can come back to this in the last 5 minutes, but right now we keep in the priority of food security. We go for the sugar cane and canola, and we say the surplus for Africa, and in brackets we put the point about the maize and take a decision after recommendations. I'm looking at our witness.
Madam Chair, after you read that, shouldn't we put something in the subject to the, you know, the submission of, yeah, because I mean, you know, that might come out and totally convince me that maize is out, or it might come up with evidence to say, you know, that there's been new development, so now you can partially, you know, take it in or out.
I hear what you say, Honourable Khadebe.
Chairperson, looking at what you recommend on page 32, I say yes, let us not mention any crop, because let us be blank. Let people maize must get out, so that then we are waiting that research is going to be done.
Coming from the guillotine. I only want to say just one little thing. Is there no way, maybe I want to put a personal position on the table. I must say, I was totally impressed by the principle of you
using the whole of a plant to produce something. You know, in this case, sugar cane, where you didn't just use one aspect. Surely we can at least talk about the priority of food security, which the committee felt is very important. No crops are mentioned there. And secondly, that surpluses, when we do have surpluses in crops, that when we do have surpluses in crops, that we need to consider, or we can consider, food security not only in our country, but in Africa broadly. You know, the region, we can. Or are we going to leave all of that out about our brothers in Africa? What's the last sentence? No, but I never put that in. No. I'm giving you what I'm saying can be in. And the last point would simply be to say the principle of the utilization as given as in the Brazilian sugarcane example of the entire plant should be looked, you know, the committee believes could be looked at more effectively. I don't know, but I think it's a brilliant idea. Now, I'll put my own idea here, but let us close off now with yourself. We'll close off.
Honourable Chairperson, I'll make also an appeal that let us not name any crop, because the study is going to be done. The certain study is going to be done. I think from there, when they do their study, they'll go globally and see what they can do somewhere. So that this issue of cost issue came about, it should also filter out during that time. Let us end that. Whatever surplus crop we're having, food security for Africa, and then that is.
Let's end there. I mean, we're all happy to end there, are we?
Okay, advance. We now ask advance in more ways than one. Right, 29.
Page 29. Conclusion. Now, my appeal to Ms. Hurley, as I've said before, is there's a need for us. There is a need for us, and I also said this to Mr. Herman, of course, is that there's a need for all of us at this top table when everything's been said, when you get the bullets, if we agree to all of it, which I'm sure one would, and the one and the two and the three and the four, is to have a conclusion as one mini part, like five lines. What's your overall conclusion? And then you give the points specifically. All right? Coming in with Honourable Marais, local government, etc., must be in line with and support. Well, I mean, this has been said over and over again. I'm sure none of us are having a problem there. And we say in a line must be in alignment with or in line. Transport system. Is that what we call it, transport, or do we call it? Is that the correct term? I don't know. Because I see here then you've also put roads, rail, ports, etc. So it's broadly called the transport system. I'm looking at everyone. Infrastructure, etc., must be improved to support optimum industrial development and global competitiveness. Optimum. Yes. Our transport and logistical, it's transport and logistical infrastructure, you see. I'm on page 29, conclusion, the blue. Yeah. Private sector procurement must be optimized via incentives and benefits. My gosh, we've given so much already. You know, I say this. Incentives. I'm not sure what other benefits we're going to give them if we're already giving them an incentive, you see. You know what I'm trying to...
Sometimes incentives might be seen as a monetary incentive. Benefit might be a, for instance, a generic campaign of advertising of buy South African products. And then they benefit by that. Because the more people see that, and there's a more emphasis on that, and that's why you must, you know, and all.
I don't know how other members, I know you're looking tired, but I just wonder, you could optimize private sector procurement, surely, by kind of encouraging them. I ask myself right now, what optimized the whole FIFA campaign and all these extra things being done? There's not one incentive in place. Now, I'm just, you know, and yet they were all breaking their necks to produce something without one incentive. Now, what I'm afraid of doing, we do need incentives, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say no, but I wouldn't like us to, you know, I don't know, man, to support the private sector as if it's a crippled or disabled group in the economy. Because I look at what happened before, and ask yourself, Honourable Marie, what happened before, just not so long ago, with the mines, for example, I'm talking generally, and how much they were supported to incentivize support in the system. But what did they do with the money they made? People, they gave them bigger shareholdings and dividends and I don't know what else. How did the rank and file benefit? I'm just asking you. And downstream, do you think they pass those benefits on to the downstream players?
Well, the objective or the intent was to say that somehow one must encourage the private sector to procure as well. And one can, you know, buy incentives and benefits might be by implication. And you don't need to mention that because, you know, you can stop there, but because I've also done that because the minister has also said, you know, that where's the private sector? The private sector must come and procure as well. And that's why I mentioned that Proudly South African, Buy South Africa. So in the past, there was a couple of times a generic marketing campaign of Proudly South Africa, Buy South Africa. That kind of thing, that you can encourage private sector to procure in terms of that. Buy South Africa, not buy China. So that was the whole objective. I just said it can be done by monetary and non-monetary measures. And non-monetary is, for instance, you know, a marketing campaign or missions abroad that can support. You know, things like that. That is non-monetary.
No, I agree. Yeah. You know, I think that where we wanted to get, I have a couple of requests for certain reasons, for us to consider closing. The thing is, we took a decision that we wouldn't have meat tomorrow if we could finish the report tonight. And that's our difficulty, you see, that we need to finish. So I'm happy to finish with the table, the odd semantic, but not the substantive issue. And that's what I'm saying. If everyone has agreed that the private sector should be encouraged. We can agree on that. The only thing we may be differing on is how. Am I right there? You know?
Yeah.
So let's ask Hajjaj, and I'll just come in there very quickly and Honorable Khadebe, close it.
Yeah.
Listen,
I think we can
say
the private sector procurement should be optimized. I think it should be optimized. I don't think we should actually put in details incentives and benefits and monetary or non-monetary measures. We are recognizing the fact that the private sector is important, the procurement is important, and it should be optimized. I don't think we can put in all the details, or whether it's incentives or supply side measures or whatever else, whether it's monetary or non-monetary. I think this is a policy document. You can't put in all these ways of doing it. So I would say must be or should be optimized, full stop.
Can I see everyone? Right. Well, I'm interested in the timing construction, the role of implementing. Remember, we flagged one of your emphasizing issues. Now, I think obviously, before we absolutely throw everything out, you see if there was any way it could be incorporated. Do you recall that? And I know all of you are looking dismally at me when I talk that, say that, but I'm just saying, is this a possibility of putting one of the points in? Honorable Heather.
See, I have a problem. I'm looking through the whole document here. I find that, you know, when we read the actual plan as developed by the department, there was quite a lot of accent on how state-owned enterprises could feed into the industrial policy and the action of this country. And I see that we are really not paying virtually no attention to that in this document. And I think that is problematic.
Important point that was made in our deliberations about the role of state-owned enterprises in procurement. Remember when this was raised? Now, we do want, can we flag it to consider where we can put it in? The only thing that we may want to say here, just incidentally, on the role of SMMEs, entrepreneurship, development, entrepreneurship must be investment, is development must be investigated, the role, and promoted to add to the objectives. The role of SMMEs and entrepreneurship development should be investigated or should be, some sort of inquiry. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think I know what you mean.
The involvement and the emphasis on SMMEs and entrepreneurship. Should be, you know, we should actually find out, you know, because I don't think we know yet how we can utilize SMMEs and entrepreneurship very effectively in support of the objectives of IPAC 2. And I think that we need to have.
You see, the Honourable Deputy Minister has stated this over and over again. Obviously, she hasn't had the opportunity to present it because it has to go to Cabinet. But the point is, the role of SMMEs and entrepreneurship in relation to employment creation needs to be actively explored so that X, Y, Z. Are we saying something along those lines? Are we agreed, honourable members?
Yeah.
And now, you know what? These are your comments. So, they're all here about the regional dimensions, about the shortage of skills, of the necessary skills required to make a success, and needs a coordinated approach to the developmental economy, the lack of coordination among institutions of higher learning remains a challenge. That is why we separated higher and lower. I mean, this is clear. Goes on and on about transfer of knowledge, development of skills, and retraining of workers. The committee is of the view that the skills audit, remember we thought that would be very important there. There's currently a mismatch between skills demand and supply that needs to be addressed. Yes. 4, continued support. Yeah, you know, we've already mentioned that one. The developmental strategies and objectives of municipalities should be aligned. It's the point you made earlier as well in the report, Honourable Marie. 6, the role is silence on the role of co-ops and small and emerging enterprises. Is it silence on small and emerging? the content speakers felt it was as well, generally. Do we mean silence, or do we mean something a little less strong? Yeah. The committee, the role of co-op small and emerging enterprises. The committee believes it does have a role to play in IPAP 2. Do you believe this? Are we agreeing then on that principle of, we're not saying silent because it's not silent, okay?
I made a mistake because I'm a judge and thought that inside of our agreement we should probably be about this. And I have made arrangements with Father Bani one after the other at the home. And the last flight that I can get is 5:05.
Now, this is the kind of precedent I don't want to set. However, I also don't want to create a total obstruction here. But I do hope you'll make the flight. So best adopt it right now if that's the view. But I must ask all members if they are, share that position. Because the next thing you'll all leave and leave it to the Honourable Maria, the Honourable Khadebi and myself to conclude. Honourable Ndikalana?
Yes, in all short of it, if Honourable Mabasa is happy with the document, change with me, and the rest of the outstanding babies, then we can record that that's his position. Then when we conclude, we'll take into account that he was happy with the rest of it. But I don't think we can conclude now.
You can't technically do that, honourable members. I mean, this is a committee, this is a parliamentary system. You must adopt the report as it stands now, or you can't adopt it. We'll do it tomorrow morning.
Can
we need a quorum to adopt, a physical quorum.
Yeah. And tomorrow morning, Madam Chair, we will not have a quorum.
No.
So can I suggest, and I mean, it is not, the president is not here to have it finished by tonight or tomorrow morning because we debate next week. We don't. And we are together on Wednesday. Isn't there because we are basically through. I think there's, you know, the final of the conclusions and then the recommendation. Why can't we just do the Wednesday?
Can't
do the Wednesday.
The thing is, this is why I've asked the flights not to be booked like this at a meeting, you see. I have said it before. I'm put in a position where I can't break the Parliament's rules. That I can't do. Now, we could actually have sat here until 6 and left. So, it's a serious problem. Because you can't do that. You've got to have the physical presence of people. If there's somebody here who's in this parliament that can be found, they can come and join us. But no, we can't. We must have the presence, the physical presence of someone. Look, I don't know if you want to go and look.
Honorable Chair, I think that you are correct that you cannot retain it. Because what happens is that you think that this people cannot have a say to elect to send on. And then, I think Honorable Marais suggested that let us finish this document and adopt it next week on Wednesday. Let's say we finish everything. We go for an adoption on Wednesday because we are meeting after all next week on Wednesday. Before we do anything, we adopt this thing. But then the members must give an undertaking that is available on that thing.
There are already exigencies that may not have meetings on that day. That's the problem, members. I'm Mama Basa, do you want someone to phone around and just get someone out of an office? Now, you see, members, this does put us in a difficulty. Then we must go back to a meeting tomorrow morning and try and pull in a member or two. Find someone we can pull in. Sorry. We can't just do, you know, chop and change like this, members. Really, we can't. You see, Parliament pays extra money for this meeting now on the basis of a motivation that we'll finish the report tonight. Not that simple, members. I have to adjourn for tomorrow morning. We'll do the best we can. But we still have an official meeting tomorrow morning. It's not cancelled. And we'll meet tomorrow to pass the report. But it continues. There's someone downstairs, maybe. If there's anyone over at your place, come on. Go see if you can find someone. Yeah, go find someone. And let's get on with the report. That's already wasted 10 minutes. Let's just get on. Right, let's move. Page 30. Members, we were going quite fast through there. We got through ICAP 2 and co-op, do you remember? Then we said to ensure the success of ICAP 2. The committee is proposing a national on Indaba. I wasn't aware of this. Just no, just flesh this out, Honourable Wood.
This one, the issue of mainstreaming the impact there. That is not the business of everyone. So that's why we spoke about national leaders. Yeah. So it means that you can help your local government, provincial government. It's for the example we made. Yeah.
The point made, we may just want to flesh it out a little bit there. There's a need to strengthen and integrate coordination among the agencies responsible for monitoring the implementation of ICAP 2 key action programs at a national, provincial, and municipal level. This will be essential to ensure ICAP's successful implementation. The possible legislative amendments, including regulations, as well as policy alignment, broadly outlined, they should be identified specifically. The possible legislative amendments, including regulations. Are we asking for all the regulations to come out specifically? That's why I'm just checking.
I think the sentence said that should that be necessary. In other words, whatever is necessary to make sure that item 2 get, you know, the implementation and the process gets expedited, then we need to do that.
Because you see, why I'm worried about the regulations being specific, you can't, you know, and have that right now. You probably, you know, these things are changed from time to time. But if what we are saying is that we don't want any impediments, we want to reduce the impediments to the implementation, then possible legislative amendments, let's just leave the regulations in brackets at the moment, as well as policy alignment broadly identified there, should be identified specifically. And expedite it, so you're not saying it must be done before. So that, yeah, that's fine. Eh? Then we got this mode, which I did have a look at this one. And again, I would say this sort of thing is so valuable as a sort of sharing of information. Because it's actually all very valuable and interesting, eh? But unfortunately, I don't know just where are we going to capture it directly. These are recommendations. There's something like the creation of a biotechnology park and the like.
Fantastic idea. Absolutely fantastic idea. But I think we haven't shredded it out. We haven't discussed that. So we cannot, you know, talk about establishing of such a park at the moment. You know, that can only, if it's been submitted and we went through, we had hearings on that, we had input from DGI, then only we can consider that, but not in this policy document. Not in this. I mean, you know, it is too much detail for this one. So I see that as a background of these arguments, and there's fantastic points. And the principle of R&D, is, I think we've already mentioned that earlier in the document, that is not a transgression of WTO rules, so, but that is to a certain extent an extension of what he's already said.
And fair enough, but I saw also then that Honourable Jikalana had a hand up and yourself, Honourable Hajar.
Okay, my hand wasn't up for the area point, but
which one is that?
The one on legislative amendment.
I'm trying to
respond to this. My proposal was that where necessary and appropriate, legislative and regulatory amendments as well as policy realignment to enable CPAP 2 should be done.
Yeah.
In fact, I was even teased, let's run away from impediment, let's move in a positive language to show that should be done as a way of enabling. Which means anywhere where EPUB's rollout hits a snag, we should make sure that we're conscious that should be done. Or even in a sense, can even be proactive in that regard. In so far as the rest of the basic one, I also concur, Chair, with the Honourable Murray. If should there be any insistence, you can just say that no, I think it's fine, Chair, because anything that's so new is going to complicate things.
I think that, yeah, we captured that one then, and thank you very much. And what were you going to say about the other one then, Honourable Jikalana? The mode.
What I'm saying about it is that I would rather it has not appeared, it has not yet appeared in IPAP 2, we avoid. Remember when Minister Davis was here and also with this DG, I raised something similar to this, that what modus operandi do they put into place to introduce new sectors? To me, this biotechnology park would be part of that new modus operandi, unless really somewhere in IPAP 2 it does appear. And if it does appear, see, I would just propose that we put it under, you know, we categorize it as something to be looked into in future. But we can't pronounce ourselves on it at this stage and at this late 11th hour. Because it's opening a can of worms.
Right. Honorable Head Judge.
After 8, just before the last clause, 9, something that reads like the role of state-owned enterprises in industrial policy action plan should be investigated and defined. Because when we read the whole plan, state-owned enterprises is just about everywhere. And and the important role of
Well, can you just bring it up here and then we'll just read it again, because we're virtually the role of state owned enterprises.
Can I just say, Madam Chair, on 4.3.1, we'll really talk about state-owned enterprises and procurement, but I think that point is necessary also that we mention it there. And I don't think we have to elaborate enormously, but just the importance of the role of state-owned enterprises in our virtue, in support of our virtue.
Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I concur with what I'm referring to, but I would have taken that because I had already prepared something around that myself, but on the issue of recommendations, because that one must be binding.
Yes.
I think we move it from that point to
completion.
Recommendations. That is binding for everyone.
There was one thing here in the input of Honourable Ambrosini, which is valuable, which was an IPAP, and that is this whole internet type service, the ICT. And we haven't said much about that. No, we did not get a submission on it per se, although there was a reference here and there. And if you look at the bottom of page 31, it says, at the bottom, you know, all of the infrastructure covering the country, it talks about a broadband internet service. Now, that's at the bottom of page 31. That, you know, it is worth looking at, because certainly I know in Gauteng and in one or two other areas, if I'm not mistaken, in KZN, where this has, you know, they piloted it. It certainly has achieved exactly that and assisted teachers who needed extra support there. Now, I'm just wondering, communication was referred to in IPAP 2, and you know that, in the actual document per se. Do we have an opinion on that? Do we think it has a role on the Hajjaj?
Most definitely, Chair. And I think that Infraco was specifically established by the state to provide broadband facilities for all of South Africa, especially the rural areas, at a competitive price. 10%, you're not
I was just looking for somebody. Maybe Fatima Chauhan, she's working to finish a public hearing. She's in.
I've got a better idea. Can you ring her?
I'm asking her not to ring her.
No. I mean, when she hears your voice. It will be very different.
I was just saying that.
No. It's a brilliant idea. And we won't forget your point. We will come back to it. But just ring our Honourable Cholak. And I've certainly helped her out in one of her reports as well for a quorum. Right. Because, you know, we're just winding up and down now, and we really need this. So please, Honourable, so we agree about the ICT and see what we can do. Then let's flag it and come back to recommendations. Is yours ready, the one you drew up there, Honourable Khadevi? The DTI submits biannual reports on the implementation. You know, I have to be honest, Ted, I know we'd be left like this out of court, or we wouldn't have gone down to Honourable Turok's event. You know, we said that on an agreement we all conclude. But never mind. The DTI submits biannual reports on the implementation of IPAP 2's key action program, milestones, and measures to address any shortcomings. Yeah, we just got to clean up just how we put this in. The DTI submits biannual report on the implementation of ITAC 2's key action plans, milestones, etc. You see, there are just so many other issues coming out of IPAP all the time. Do we want to restrict our recommendation just to these key action programs, the milestones and measures, you see? Or do we want to slightly just broaden it? Yes, by annual report, no problem. On the implementation of IPAP 2. And measures to address the shortcomings. It's really, part of it may not even yet be the failure, but you begin to see something coming up. And that's how I saw you doing this, that you're going to have this regular monitoring and report back and oversight so that timely or timious measures can be taken to correct or to take corrective measures. Yeah, that's really what you're trying to say. If we're in the wrong direction, we've got to stop and change direction, not just continue there. You know? Are we agreeing with the idea? The DTI submits biannual reports to the committee on new incentives that would encourage and support industrialization and sustainable job creation. See, we've got I think the thing is, it should be biannual reports, and then it should be covering a variety of issues. Do you follow what I'm saying there? That you call for biannual reports, and then let's bullet a number of those issues you're going to be putting down as one item, you see, not two. I don't know if you agree with the principle there. The DTI table, you see, because of all of these submit biannual reports, tables a report. Now, this tariff regime, I thought that was a trading issue, but it's also industrial, isn't it? The number three. That one, the DTI in consultation with IBC submits a progress report on the review of the IBC's mandate and the possible recapitalization process. Okay, Honorable Ngikalana?
What? How would it be if it was displayed? DTI in consultation with IDC as well as the Department of Economic Development. Because the IDC directly didn't EDD.
So it's important for us to include the EDC there. I mean, EDD. Yes. Right. So that's, no, where we were talking of just about the DTI with IEC. We're now saying both. The DTI submits the research report on the most optimal seed crop. Well, we've already looked at that, okay? We said, yes, we want this report first. And the implications thereof. What about the implications thereof for food security, or do we leave it broad?
I think that is part of the
implication. So we won't have to spell that out there. The DTI submits a report on measures being considered to increase the local content. Yes, excellent, yeah, very good. The DTI submits a report on the role of local governments in the implementation. Is that their role then? I'm just asking you.
Well, most certainly, if IFAC must be rolled out through the three levels of government in support of IFAC, then somewhere there must be a report from the DDI who is responsible for IFAC. So, you know, this is how it should be done, or this is what we expect from the committee or from parliament. Any other clear, and then then we must consider that. I think it's quite critical.
You know, I'm only asking whether being another sphere of government per se, and we're not the particular portfolio committee, you know, not we, but the DTI is not the department there. I'm not saying no, but one is just looking at how that would work.
Tim, Madam Chair, I think it's also difficult for us to say what the role of, for instance, the local government department
okay.
must be, but the DTI comes back to us and says, you know, in terms of IFAC 2,
this is
the must be supported by the other levels, this is how they see it, and this is how they see how we're supporting that.
Now, I'm going to come to Honourable Khadevi and Honourable Ntikalon.
On that issue, I don't think that you must only isolate the local government.
DTI has a broad public awareness program RAM or IPAC too. Sorry, you did have your hand up. Sorry, let me.
Just a small thing. Should 6 and 7 would be reports. Shouldn't they be planned? That's my first thing. Number two, in terms of 7, doesn't IPAP 2 articulate what the national department ought to be doing? To me, what I saw as the gap is actually the role of provincial and local government. Because if you look at the IPAP 2 under its section, it shows which institutions should be driving, and they are much, they are, I can almost confidently say they are solely national structures. So I would support still 7, but to me, what I assume that 7 is emphasizing on those structures that, or institutions that are not there, which is provincial and local government.
Thank you. Honorable Hajjaj, then Honorable Murray.
I think the next clause, that would be 8, before we come to the public awareness, could we possibly put in the clause that the DPI investigates and defines the role of state owned enterprises and public?
That's before 8. 8
Okay.
The one that Honourable Hadevi was also saying should be in recommendations, then, of yours.
Madam Chair, in terms of the local government, I know that IPAC 2 already mentioned that, you know, that is critical, but I think this may be more, probably more practical thing of the issue of the local government. I want to use the example of someone that wants to put up a factory that is absolutely in support of IPAC, but the knowledge, is, expertise is not there, or the money is not there. So in other words, how can DDI assure that action, that investment, that job creation, you know, gets supported by local government? And maybe it's already there, or the implication there, but I've seen a couple of examples lately where it is where there's a definite shortcoming in local government, where the intention is absolutely there to support IPAC. But the practical effect of that is a disaster, and it's not in school. I don't know.
Chair, that's exactly what we did. In fact, there's already some ill precedents when Minister Davis went to Tedelec.
Went to
Tedelec factory in Atlantis, which, to quite an extent, could be a little bit part of some IPAP and help to resuscitate. But also the other thing is that there is an element of reflection that probably at that local level there isn't the requisite expertise to quickly respond to Tedelec's challenges. So what one envisages, the report would even expose that to their plan as to in what way can, you know, DTI together with the economic cluster to an extent creatively ensure that municipalities which may be faced with the potential for implementation of any IPAP initiative, whilst on the other side, they don't have the requisite expertise. Not only can they then come in to reinforce and help on that. Thanks.
I think the point has been made then by quite a few of you and captured it. Not in time. Let's just look at it. It was number 7, wasn't it? Surely we've captured it sufficiently in there under 7, or do you want to add to it? All right. We then have a point made by Ambrosini. Honourable Ambrosini on Competition Commission, financing arrangements. I was a little alarmed when I saw this issue about the cartels and companies and so on. I wasn't sure how IDC could possibly be seen as a cartel. What is it? to avoid from becoming an industrial conglomerate. I thought the whole idea is that it would become one. It would have the thrust of energy with anti-competitive effect. Now, I think...
Madam Chair, it's also talking about, you know, the splitting up of the IDC. In terms of the move of IDC to EDD, whether we agree with that or not, is irrelevant. That's not in our mandate. So to make a recommendation in that regard, is, I don't think it's the right place. I think it's mentally correct.
I think we have to leave that one, huh? Yeah. Honourable Maria and all the other members, page 33, you see a lot of blue. I don't know if you're going to be seeing that. These are already captured. Then we have references.
First one on import substitution, terms of recommendation. I don't think they're going to be. That's the only one that is not in.
I just checked them.
Not in the recommendations. No, yeah, that's the only one. Madam Chair, that specific one is not included in the recommendations already. Where it's just a feedback report from BTI on possible import substitution measures. Yeah.
It's reference to that earlier in the report.
Yeah.
So if you want to capture it under recommendations or conclusions?
No, I think recommendations, because I mean, you know, feedback from the BTI to see, you know, whether that is relevant or not. Or whether we can do that, or, you know, if there's a way of import substitution, what does that suggest?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honourable Maria, you know why I'm just doing an aside here quickly. You know what worries me about this issue of the import substitution? It is being done. It's kind of implicit around the place, if I can put it that way. But it's nowhere explicit. And that's why you see me just wanting to check exactly how they have put it as to what they're going to be doing. So give Margot a minute there. Meanwhile, we continue, okay? She will just check on that particular one. And the rest of it has been captured, do you follow?
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to the recommendation. On the recommendation, the idea is not to have a whole lot of recommendations per se, but to try and restrict it to about 6 or 7 at the most. We've got, you're going to have
nine
there all together with that SOE.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about the reduction of all annual reports into one idea, meaning one recommendation, that there should be annual reports on this, et cetera, et cetera. But I just want, on the other hand, I'm trying to, if you analyze this, and this is what I did when I first saw the recommendations that were made here, almost all of them are reports. Okay? You know, the first one is a report, the second one is a report, the next one is a report, next one is a
The next one is a research report, and so on and so forth. Okay. Now the issue is that we're talking of reports. We want reports on all of them. I think there's going to be a better way of calling for these reports as one, and then to list the issues on which these reports would be required, if that makes sense. We're not taking out anything substantial. But then secondly, you're also always asking for some reports to be biannual, very specifically, and others to seemingly to be regular reports on progress. I don't know if you see that difference in your song Bologna.
Yes.
Then the SOEs, what was that exactly that you called for there? Was that a report? I can't remember. The role of statements should be investigated. You see, that's not called for a report. That's what I'm saying. Am I right? That's cool. So now, you've got, because I thought there were two or three investigations. Then you're asking for the broad public awareness and program line. That's not a report again. You got it there. So there's two things there. Then you're calling for, submit report, review, the tariff.
Yeah.
something that you say is an overall commitment? Does anyone have an idea? Okay. You know, when I came to the end of this, it was, you have repeatedly said on and off again, so I was thinking you may come out with it again, that after hearing all the public hearings, there did seem to be a lot of common ground. You put this in one another way. And that really, when we concluded the public hearing and our deliberation, the convergence between the private sector, entities within the private sector, or sectors, subsectors, and government were much wider or greater than we expected, on the one hand. And what were these areas that you need to mention? You know, the three broad areas was that there was a total acknowledgement that the reindustrialization of South Africa is absolutely critical. There isn't anybody who disagreed who came here. They had lots of different other views, but that they were determined about. We are committed to them. The second thing they all seem to converge on and so on in this particular area was that there was a concern that the capacitation this thing was may not match their enthusiasm to get this all done. The third thing was perhaps a criticism from everyone and or a recognition that transport and logistical issues would provide, if there would be any constraint, it would be this more than anything. Your logistical things, your transport, your movement. Now, that was my, as I came to the end, this is what I began to see coming out. But in the final analysis, when I was asked even by someone the other day, so, well, how do you feel? Think they're going to work together? And I said, there was such a lot of positiveness that came out. Where the private sector didn't just blame government all the time. They actually were coming to the party and saying what can be done. So there just seems to be this willingness. Now, I don't know. That was how I concluded when I reached this and studied the submissions again. I don't know. That was my
early. You're quite right. The other thing that I picked up is that I think everybody is aware that we need to create more jobs. That was the other thing that So there's not industrialization in terms of mechanizing, computerizing everything, creating a job. So that's why some of these, like the component manufacturing, automotive component manufacturing, there's more collaborative or quality data. But that was quite a part and aggregate.
Creation of decent job opportunity. Anything else someone feels they were at the end, this is what came out
for me. Well, it might not be long.
No. It has to be about 4 or 5 lines. Kale Kumala, anything from yourself?
I had the same thing that already indicated on it. The issue of the defense.
Now, I think overall, we've repeatedly said that as individuals and much earlier on, and it's coming out more and more. I don't know if the researcher, not the researcher, the content specialist, and anyone here at the table had anything to add after all the work they've done. I'm Lindy Kalana.
Yes, there was a visible input from civil society organizations, but that's
the latest
thing, input from civil society organizations, such as the state, So, it's worth mentioning over and above private sector and government. The other thing is that,
private sector.
Yeah.
in terms of the constraints, our proposal rather say that transport and logistics were amongst the main constraints. Because of access to capital could be a constraint.
Yeah,
there could be other. If we just say inter alia, that's a transport.
Yeah. Now this has become quite long and the need for us will be to bring this down to four lines while keeping in the decent jobs, keeping in the access to capital, etc. I'm just looking at this here. And the consensus, the convergence on so many issues between public, private and civil society, including unions. I will come to you in just a minute, Honourable Judge, and the logistical constraints which were referred to as one of the many challenges, etc., that we face. Honourable Judge, the final word, and then we're going to move to adoption.
Yeah, I don't know where we can put now, but I think we need to add a clause on the fact that this industrial policy is meant to promote economic growth, besides the
economic growth. All right, we sort of have created a little patchwork, but I just realized we can't adopt. No. We just can't. This is not the unfortunate part. Our big problem would be if we need to avoid further problems that we face at the 11th hour to try and find a half an hour on Tuesday somewhere. Now, as I look at everyone, will everyone be here on Tuesday at 1 o'clock? 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm just kind of looking. Is there anyone who may not be here?
I will be around, but I'm having a committee meeting on labor.
Okay, I won't be here at all if I am doing the surgery. So I won't be here for the next 2 months.
Anyway, I'm sorry to hear that. But thank you for giving us notice. I was just thinking, Honourable Kamali, it may be possible with your chairperson's permission. I think you're all to the whip there, though, aren't you? Or you're on the main coast?
I'm in main coast, not in the
east. Yeah. All right. I knew that there was some position there, but you may, your chair may find it at your request. She may or he may be able to release you for the 15 minutes it requires. Because at that point, what is perhaps the good thing, we'd have this document totally cleaned up, you follow, and be able to say, oh gosh, we forgot this anyway, good thing we didn't adopt it as it was, you know. So we'll have this in our pigeonholes on Monday, I take it afternoon. We need to get this on the ATC on Wednesday morning. That's the issue. You see, and I didn't want to belabor the point earlier. And then it's there to go ahead. So I really, apart from saying we want everyone to be thanked, thank you very much, in particular to members who sit on more than two committees. I know you do, for example, Honourable Kamalo, and you play an active role on the other one. I know you do too, Honourable Kodasa, and you also play an active role. And we have two PAC members here. You know, they're off and away as well. And I know that the committee here have worked very hard, these people, the secretariat. But more than anything, I need to thank the whip for not only processing all the minutes on Wednesday or everything that was available at the time, but making a real move forward. we've been asked to tell you exactly what we have to conclude with this, to, you know, as we go to constituency. We passed the budget, but we have to pass the WTO trip before it's going to go to Angel Bapela. Or could you just talk to it, you?
I've been speaking to the Honourable Premier's office, and they suggest that we must put it in as soon as possible. So the suggestion was that if we can find, I'm waiting for the coach from the airline. If we have that tomorrow, we can process and do a motivation and process it, because they were actually suggesting I must do it at like today, if I could. Yeah, so I'm waiting for the costing for that from the travel agency, because it's about to be a Friday. So hopefully I will have it tomorrow. We will find the line and submit it, hopefully. Tuesday, we won't have an answer, but it should be submitted, I think. I think the team was taken, that we are going to WTO, or I mean, and then...
No, it was definitely taken the 2nd of August.
So also we'll submit it as soon as we have the other information.
It may be the 1st.
No, we will. It's from the
July,
but we will leave it the 31st of July.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
And then the Monday, it will probably be the Friday.
So that's one thing. We'll just do a quick passing. Nobody's objecting to the trip to the WTO, number one. Number two, we also need to have the, there was another thing, the oversight. We took a decision in principle that we're going to do oversight in the Eastern Cape, et cetera, et cetera. It's the dates you will be given on Tuesday just to pass. I don't want to mention a date now, but it's going to mean you're going to be away for 5 days or something. You're going to fly out. We're going to have a committee meeting. 2 full days of oversight, a day of traveling and back. In other words, it's going to be very effective oversight that we're going to do in the area. And those, we need to just pass the decisions with a full quorum on Tuesday. Those decisions will be in your Monday cubbyholder mailboxes. Look at them so that you're ready to pass them. Is that, I don't know how you feel about that then. So everything is then in order. And the debate will be 1.5 hours, and the whip will tell us exactly when. Please travel home safely. I understand there's a bus, am I right? Not a bus, but there's transport downstairs. I assume at Port Face. Half past 12, a maximum of 30 minutes. Let's try and get what is 26.
Thank you.